It is Friday, October 29th. Menace in the morning, fifth straight day, even though it's probably not quite morning. It's more like menace at lunch today. Had a little mix up this morning, but we are here. We are live and we are recording. I think let's see this here before we get to Chris. We have already put out 4 hours of content this week, audio content, podcast content. And this, however long this show goes, add that on top. So you talk about turning things up a bit. Usually it's about an hour and a half a week of content. Now we're at 4 hours. So I hope you're enjoying it. I know we got a ton of feedback. They love this show. They love the consistency. They love additional content. So appreciate you guys for, for listening. before we get to anything, I got a bitch. And you know what? I'm going to welcome Chris. Welcome to the show.
Hey, my man, do you want to give out your bets or are we just jump right into it?
I was going to, but in order to do that, I'm going to have to vent a little bit about AJ Green. And I figured you would be a good addition to that venting.
Let's talk about it, my boy.
So obviously we gave out the parlay last night. Looked fucking great. Going to hit for sure, especially at the end of the game. Arizona looked like shit to start the game. End of the game, you know, that is a typical NFL game. They get the ball back. Down three, and all of a sudden, Kyler Murray starts driving. He starts looking like the guy we all knew he was, right? They get to the fucking whatever, 8-yard line, and A.J. Green, a 12-year NFL vet, is blocking on a pass play, and Kyler throws what looks like an amazing back shoulder throw for a touchdown, and this fucker's blocking, and the corner just intercepts it, game over. I've never been so fucking mad, Chris, ever.
Yeah, dude, one-on-one coverage outside. The ball is exactly where it is. The DB's confused because he sees Kyler kind of dropping back, and then AJ goes to fucking block. Like, he's blocking.
Unbelievable.
And then he wants to turn around and act like, what's going on? That cannot happen at the end of a game from a vet, like a long, long time vet. Like,
what are we fucking talking about? and people in Cincinnati, I tweeted about it because I'm so livid. One, that because I actually bet on it, but two, I gave it out to listeners. Like, mm-hmm. I care more. Like, if I just bet a game and it loses, I'm like, whatever. Like, it's no big deal. But if I give it out on my show, I'm like, I fucking am like, there's people that bet money on that and they just lost. And I feel sick about it.
You were right. You were right. You hit it. Right. And then this dude, AJ Green, just didn't know what was going on.
Fuck AJ Green. Typical.
For real. Typical bulldog.
Typical bulldog. Right. So let me just take you down my rabbit hole. Right. So I started the day yesterday. I'm up $500 gambling. Right. So then I bet $250 on that parlay. I'm like, this is fucking Lock City, right? Now I'm down to 250. And then I'm going to go through it. Then I threw $100 on a parlay with the Lightning and the Wild. So a little bit better odds. So now I'm down to 150. Then I put the best prop that our handicapping team put out, I thought, was Randall Cobb. You know, Alan Lazard is out, right? Mm-hmm. And Devontae Adams is out with COVID. So we put out Randall Cobb over 4.5 catches. Fucking just... crushed. Didn't even, I think he had 4 catches at the end, not 5. And I don't know what Aaron, for some reason, Aaron Rodgers threw 100 screens to tight ends and Aaron Jones, and it was bizarre. So that
literally everybody now, except for Cobb. I thought the fact that Lazard was out made it so easy for Cobb to hit that over. Like, they're like, just where I'm at, just like,
there's no doubt.
Yeah.
So now I went from up 500 to down 100, right? And then I don't do well when I'm down, and this is really dumb. This is how you lose a lot of money. But so then I jump on, I'm like, all right. That Minnesota Wild game that I bet. Well, Seattle Kraken they're going to win the game. It's obvious. So I bet it live to win $80. Or I'm sorry, to win $186. So now I'm up 80, right? And then I'm like, all right, now I'm in the mood, right? I'm firing live bets. Then I put $250 on both of the late night hockey games live after the second period because it's always – the line is always 1.5 goals more, right? Mm-hmm. So you literally bet like, all right – do I think two goals are going to be scored in the third period or do I not? So I bet both of them live, 250 each, to go under, and they both hit under. So now I'm back at $500. I'm never doing that again. It was
Madden. All that for a bag of Doritos, dog.
Right.
All that back to it.
I might be up $8 right now or down. I don't know. But anyways, let's get to some conversation about college football. I know one of the things you wanted to talk about was kind of this 2021 Buckeye offense and comparisons really to the 2019 LSU team.
Yeah, bear with me here, Zach, because I go down these like weird mad scientist rabbit holes, and this is one of them. So, we talked about the best offenses ever, and obviously right now, this year, Ohio State has the best offense in college football. If anyone tries to argue with you, tell them, to go somewhere else, because we're not going to deal with that right here. It is the best offense in college football. Now, a step further, Zach, at what point can I compare this offense to that 2019 LSU offense? And here's where I'm at. Like, I'm not sure. It is Chris Olave, Justin Jefferson. Like, is Garrett Wilson, Ja'Marr Chase? And I think that Trayvon Henderson is better than Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And then we have C.J. Stroud. Is he, Joey Burrow? I'm not quite sure yet. And then additionally, the leading two receivers on that team were Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson. Yep. The number three receiver on that team was Moss, the kid who was an undrafted free agent at tight end. Great kid, obviously, the Moss
kid. Randy Moss's kid, right?
Yeah, exactly. Undrafted free agent, though, at tight end. He was the third leading receiver. Yep. So am I foolish? Am I tripping to think that this Ohio State offense probably has more firepower than that LSU offense? And we know they have the play calling. They're not Georgia. We're not going to ruin weapons and do the least with the most.
Yeah.
Like, am I tripping? Is, Justin Jefferson that much better than Chris Olave? Like, I know that they put up bonkers numbers, but just talk to me about this.
Yes, they are better. Justin Jefferson is better than Chris Olave. Yes, is the answer to that. Ja'Marr Chase is better. I think Garrett Wilson gives Ja'Marr Chase a run for his money, to be honest with you. But Jaxon Smith-Njigba getting thrown into the mix on an LSU team that didn't have that third superstar gives Ohio State an edge at the receiver position. But here's the reality, though. They had Joe Burrow, and this is not a knock on C.J. Stroud, but Joe Burrow, that was the best year that I've ever seen out of a quarterback in 20 years of being in this industry. So as well as C.J. Stroud has played for 3 weeks, like, this is not even a comparison. Because of Joe Burrow, not because of skill. Yeah. Now, every other point you made is accurate, right? Trayvon Henderson is not better than Clyde Edwards-Helaire today, but he will be, right? Mm-hmm. He will be, maybe by the end of the year. I mean, he's still young. He still, has a lot of.
He's still growth. Learning the game. Yeah, he's still learning
he's
the game
at a close level, both mentally and physically, to get there. I mean, Clyde Edwards-Helaire was Mr. Everything. He was amazing in pass pro. They flexed him out at receiver. He ran a hundred different routes. Like, that's stuff that Trayvon cannot do yet. Now, is he more dynamic handing him the ball? Yes, he is. But as a complete player, Clyde Edwards-Helaire that year is still has a slight edge over Trayvon Henderson. But the end all be all here is Joe Burrow. Now, if you want to talk about the 2020 Alabama team, I think that's a better comparison, right? Najee Harris, Trayvon Henderson, right? Then you had Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle. Compare them to these two monster receivers. And again, the third receiver still is a better option at Ohio State. Mac Jones is a much better comparison. I love Mac Jones. I think he's a really good quarterback. He's obviously a starting quarterback in the NFL, but he's still not Joe Burrow. Like, that's where the comparison kind of takes a side road. None of these teams had Joe Burrow and that had a year like Joe Burrow had.
And I guess it's interesting because, like, when you look at Joe Burrow in a vacuum, you look at CJ in the vacuum, I think that CJ can make every throw that Joe can. But I think Joe had, if you want to call it that competitive greatness, that kind of next level above. And something else I want to talk about is he had gun barrel toughness, which we're going to touch on. Does CJ Stroud have that a little bit later? But, as a whole, I just think, like, that LSU team, first round picks on offense at the skill positions, like Clyde was a first round pick. Obviously, Joey was number one overall. And then the two receivers outside were first round picks. I think this Ohio State team has that. Maybe not as good, like, at the very, very top, but, like, with Jaxon Smith is obviously a better receiver than Terrence Marshall Jr. and than Thaddeus Moss. And I think that Jermaine Ruckert is comparable to a guy like Thaddeus Moss, even though he does not get used as much. But you're right. I mean, it does come down to that quarterback position. It's still bonkers to me that Joe Burrow threw for 5,600 yards, adjusted yards per attempt, 12.5. Like, that's absolutely absurd. But, I'm in this place, in this rabbit hole, where I think that Garrett Wilson gives a guy like Ja'Marr Chase a run-ish for his money. Obviously not today's, Ja'Marr Chase, who's, like, we'll talk about that at some point, one of the top 10 receivers in the NFL. It's been absolutely absurd. Yeah. But I think that Chris Olave is Justin Jefferson-ish, dare I say?
Dare you say. You just dared to say it, and he's just simply not. Okay. And I love Chris Olave, but Justin Jefferson was And you know what? Part of it might have been the style of offense and might have been Joe Burrow, because Chris Olave is a first-round draft pick, in my opinion. He'll be a late first, maybe early second-round draft pick. And Ja'Marr Chase, I mean, Justin Jefferson was a bona fide first-round draft pick and, and played like it when he got there, right? He's not like the kid from Baylor that got drafted to the Browns. I can't remember his name.
Corey Coleman.
There you go. He's not
Corey Coleman. They could run three routes.
A first-rounder that is fucking awful. Mm-hmm. Like Justin Jefferson is a bona fide first rounder. Go back and redraft, knowing what we know, he's probably going higher than he went, right?
Oh, probably. Top eight at least.
Yeah, and so he's. We could talk about the differences in game forever, but he's Chris Olave is a really, really good player. He's just not quite as good as Justin Jefferson. I mean, it just is what it is. Mm-hmm. And Ja'Marr Chase is a little. It's tough with Garrett because Garrett.
I think Garrett's the best to ever touch a blade of grass at Ohio State at that position. I might be tripping, but I think Garrett Wilson is absolutely incredible. I mean, you had the stats yesterday on your other show talking about, shout out the other show in the Menace Society to Sports Feed, talking about how Garrett Wilson against man coverage is basically playing on against air. Like, he's that good.
10 for 10. The craziest shit ever was the stat where when a team plays man coverage, as long as C.J. Stroud throws it to one of those three kids, right? Jackson Smith and Jigba, Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave. As long as he throws it to one of those three and the defense is playing man, I think it was one out of every three times he does it, it's a touchdown. It's like, what?
Which that led me to the road of comparing this to the LSU team, because the LSU team, if you get the ball in one of those, guys' hands, it was over. It was good night. Over. So
there's no doubt. But I'm just telling you, the difference is Joe Burrow at the end of the day. I mean, there's great conversations to be had about Chris Olave and Justin Jefferson, about Ja'Marr Chase and Garrett Wilson. And they're great conversations. Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Travion Henderson, like, so many similarities. But the buck stops with Joe Burrow. There was nothing you could do to that kid to help your cause, right? It's like, all right, let's drop eight. Nope, you just gave him all the time in the world. He's dicing you up. All right, let's blitz the shit out of him. Like, oh God, don't do that. He's better when you blitz. Like, everything you could do, it was like, Jesus, he's better when we do that too. Like, what if we shoot him in the head? It's like, no, he's even better when
he's a true football savant. And I want to bleed that for the next conversation. So Joe Burrow against UCF. In that game, obviously, to kind of pre-kick off his Heisman run, threw an interception, took an absolute shot, got decked, man. Like, it was bad news. Came back, threw four touchdowns. They beat the undisputed, quote-unquote, national champs, whatever, and kind of that launched him into the next season. And one thing that I think that was asked of us is, what happens if C.J. Stroud gets hit like that? What happens when he gets hit by, quote unquote, a Georgia defense? Like what happens? Because we've seen with Joe Burrow, has gun barrel toughness. Like stick the gun in Joe Burrow's mouth, he's going to still throw 5-6 interceptions. It does not matter. And does C.J. Stroud have that? It requires two things. You have to be super mentally tough and mentally focused. You got to be able to get hit and be better, which is tough to do. It doesn't – obviously, it's such a rare thing. And then when that gun is in your face the next time, will you flinch or not? We saw from Joe Burrow, the SEC gauntlet, never flinched, not a single time. Even the year where they weren't dominant, when he threw 17 or 16 touchdowns, he still never flinched. They did beat that Georgia team, I believe. So does C.J. Stroud, when they get to bigger competition, you may see it this Saturday, you may see it you're going to see it at some point. Does he have the gun barrel toughness to face a Georgia and Alabama getting hit like that and being able to get up? I mean, like Justin Fields against Clemson, like being able to get hit and get better. Does he have that? Do you see it? What are you looking for?
So here's a great conversation. That's a great point. No, he doesn't. And so here's what I always think about. And I've always thought this in recruiting, and this is no disrespect to the military or the Navy SEALs at all. Because it's just a hypothetical. It's just kind of a process I went through in my head when recruiting a quarterback is, could this kid, right? Could this quarterback survive Navy SEAL training, right? Buds, could they get through it, right? That's what I asked myself. And you go back, let's go through the Urban Meyer time, right? Braxton Miller, if he really committed to it, he could, right? Now, he certainly wouldn't want to do it, and that was probably one of his drawbacks as a quarterback, but he's the tough kid, so I think he could do it. JT Barrett 100% could become a Navy SEAL.
Cardale Jones, absolute gun barrel toughness.
Yeah, Cardale Jones, not a fucking chance. Like, first day, he's fucking ringing that bell. He's out. Dwayne Haskins, not a fucking chance. First, he won't even make it to the first day. He's ringing the bell at, mm-hmm. at the dinner before it starts the night before.
Yeah, they throw some slop on his plate. He's out of here.
Yeah, for the first fucking time you throw anything on that plate, he's like, what the? Nope, ring the bell. So Haskins is deucing out of there. Justin Fields, I believe, absolutely could, right? And so now CJ Stroud, absolutely fucking not. Not from what I've seen and what I know. No chance. And it comes from everything, right? You learn about a person's toughness, not only what they do on the field, but in how their demeanor in interviews, right? How they carry themselves on the practice field, like what they do at practice. I mean, this kid's a talented player. He's a young player. And who knows, maybe 2 years from now, he's going to be a tough son of a bitch. But right now, just the way everything I just mentioned, he could not.
Is there survive. A little bit of a regional thing with that too? Like I think that, Kyle McCord. Yeah, I think that Kyle McCord has that kind of gun barrel, like get hit and keep going kind of mindset. Just kind of from what I've seen, the way he speaks, kind of what we heard from behind the scenes with him, how laser focused and how locked in he is. Is that kind of a regional thing as well, like in terms of like trends with that?
Well, I mean, it could be. I mean, mm-hmm. you know.
I just think Joe Burrow had it, definitely. I mean, that's an Ohio kid, like through and through. I think that Kyle McCord has it. That's a Pennsylvania kid.
There's definitely softer regions in the country, mm-hmm. and California is probably the fucking number one example of the softest place. It definitely can be regional, but you know, at the same time, there's some tough ass kids that come from California. There's some soft ass Ohio kids. I've coached a bunch of them. So I think it definitely. Part of it is that Cali mindset, but mm-hmm. you know, it doesn't mean he's not going to be a great player. It's just when let's say Ohio State does play Georgia. Oh boy. I mean, he's going to have to really, not only is he going to have to play well, we all know that, but that offensive line is going to have to play the best they've ever played to make sure he doesn't get hit, because I'm with you.
And if he does get hit, he's going to have to sink his teeth in, and
We're talking about a guy that just played a game that only got pressured three times the entire mm-hmm. game. Like
he looks like he's throwing on a 7-on-7 circuit.
Yeah, not only do I think he's maybe not the toughest kid in the world, but he also is not getting much. He's not getting grinded much right mm-hmm. now. Like it's like 7-on-7. Like you said, drop back. You have great talent. Make some pretty throws, and everyone will love you again. So I want to see. I mean, I think he'll get tested this Saturday. I mean, it's going to be rainy, a little wet ball. Penn State's defense is probably the best defense that Ohio State's played.
Most definitely, their back seven is going to be the best that he's faced this year by a mile.
And up front, I mean, they got some guys that can rush the passer. So everyone's going to be tested a little bit on Saturday, and it's going to be interesting to see what CJ Stroud does to answer the questions, right?
Yep. And I know it's not all his fault, the Oregon loss, but that kind of felt like the moment was a little bit too big for him. Now he's going to get a second chance to like kind of show his growth in the early parts of the season, because it's going to be a big moment. I mean, it's Columbus. It's at night. It's all red. It's Penn State. So something definitely to look forward to. And I think that's the only thing that could derail this offense is a shaken up CJ Stroud, if I'm being completely honest.
There's no doubt. I mean, everything else is seems to be on point, right? The one question mark that we had going into the year was the quarterback. And then mm-hmm. after three games was like, oh shit, now it's even more a question mark, the quarterback. And now that he started to answer that question, that doesn't mean that question answered, you cross it off the list and move the fuck on. Like, that position's too important, man. That question is coming up every day. And if he doesn't like it, he shouldn't be playing quarterback at Ohio State, because that's just what he's going to face, especially since he did struggle, right? Mm-hmm. Can he do it? That's a question for every quarterback until they prove they can do it. Like Joe Burrow, can he do it? Even after his first year at LSU, you're like, can Joe Burrow really like do it? And nobody knew. Joe didn't even know for sure. He had self-confidence, but until he went out and started playing and proving it to himself and everyone else, that's always the question, right?
It's always the question, and it's you know, foolish to say, but the question doesn't get answered till it gets answered, and we're not there with CJ yet. And I'm excited to see. I'm curious, but it's gonna be one of those situations where, all right, you got to find out. And being the quarterback at Ohio State is an extreme mental test, and you kind of see what kids are made of throughout the process. I mean, that applies with Quinn Ewers right now. Everything that's kind of being said about him, it applies with Kyle McCord about getting here early, wanting to win the job, and it applies with CJ Stroud with how can he face getting hit, can he get back up, can he get better almost as things kind of get harder, because that's kind of the competitive greatness that you need to be a big time quarterback and a national champion quarterback. Like that's kind of what separates you from being Bryce Petty or being, you know, a guy who can win a national title. So no disrespect to Bryce Petty. I thought he was great at Baylor. But Zach, that is all I got today. Unless do you want to give away something? I know you got the handicapping team. Like what are you thinking this weekend that they didn't hit? Who's going to be next to get got, quote unquote?
Like the next upset.
Yeah.
Oh gosh.
That's a tough one. I just sprung it on you.
I mean, obviously Michigan or Michigan State is going to get got. Mm-hmm. I talked about it on my show last night that I think Michigan State wins that football game. I really do. After really diving deep into it yesterday, I think they win that football game. So the only thing I'm going to play on my bookie, right? Oh, mm-hmm. I forgot to mention that earlier. My bookie, promo code Menace. Oh, and I didn't give out my parlay either, did I?
No, you did not.
All right. So go to my bookie. Get free money if you haven't yet. I know you're probably sick of me talking about it, but it's the best way to get started and get your bankroll going. Go to MyBookie, use promo code Menace, and then let me get my parlay for today. I'm parlaying the Vegas Golden Knights and Dallas Stars together. Two home favorites. Both should get it done. The Golden Knights should beat Anaheim, no problem, and Dallas should beat Ottawa. So that's my parlay to get better than even money. I'm playing it tonight, so ride with me. I mean, that last night one still made me sick. But yeah, so the college football games, I think the biggest ones that obviously I broke down were, I like Michigan State to win. I like Ohio State to cover. The only thing concerning about Ohio State to cover is the rain, but I think they should.
Me too. Especially the way that Illinois ran the ball against Penn State. I think so as well.
Yeah. I mean, even the good thing about Ohio State is if you bet them to cover, or you bet the over and it's raining, it's not like, ah, shit, that's a bad bet, because Trayvon Henderson can go 80 at any time.
Right. Anytime.
And then, other than that, I think you had an opinion on West Virginia, Iowa State, didn't you?
Yeah, but I think that Iowa State could get got this weekend by West Virginia. And then also interesting, number 9, Iowa underdogs against Wisconsin this weekend.
Yeah, that's a bizarre one. I wouldn't bet that one. But
No, that's a steer clear for me.
For sure. I mean, because Vegas is telling you something about that when they made it, because Wisconsin's looked awful. I mean, Graham Mertz has been having a below average year. But Iowa got exposed, right?
Yep.
So I could see that going either way. The other one, I think, honestly, is I don't know which way to bet it, but Florida, Georgia, the world's largest outdoor cocktail party is this weekend. And, it's an interesting situation, right? Because Georgia's the best team in the country. Yep. I actually am on the verge of saying Ohio State is in that conversation, but I'm going to need to see them play two decent opponents before.
After this week, I'm ringing the bell on my Twitter. I'm insufferable. So get ready.
This Penn State team is not a great team. So I'm going to
chill, Zach. Let me have it. Let me have it.
You can have it. So Georgia is obviously going to Jacksonville to play their neutral site game. Mm-hmm. Georgia is an unbelievable defense. They're getting by on offense with some great play calling and great game planning with Stetson Bennett. And obviously have a good run game, and Florida is a complete train wreck on offense and defense. It's Todd Grantham needs to be fired. I don't know why he's not yet. Dan Mullen, he must have nude pictures of Dan Mullen, or maybe Dan's wife. As much as
wait a second.
but uniquely their offense is fucking pathetic too. Now, their throw game has been pathetic for, I don't know how long, maybe since he got there. Even with Kyle Trask, it was decent, but
another guy there too, helping out Kyle Trask.
Well, I take it back. Their run game was horrific when Trask was there. Now they can't do anything, right? They have AR-15 is a stud playmaker, but he's not a true quarterback. But here's the caveat. Dan Mullen loses this game, he's getting fired. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, I mean, he's 4-4 in year 4, doesn't have an outstanding record. I mean, you could say he went to the SEC championship game once in the COVID year, but fucking, I don't even know if people paid attention that year, and got boat raced by Alabama anyways. So can Georgia, I mean, I think Georgia's the best team in the country, but Dan Mullen's got to save his job. He's going to do some wild shit. You talk about trick plays, everything. So
it's a game I can't touch this one. I can't touch this one. It's too weird. It feels too weird, Zach. Yeah,
and I mean, I honestly like Georgia to win by more than 14, but everything I just said kind of makes me leery. Weary. I mean, leery. that Florida might pull something off to save Dan Mullen's job. The other SEC game that I haven't talked about once, that's a good matchup, is Ole Miss at Auburn. Auburn's a 3-point favorite against Ole Miss, and how Auburn's sneaking back up there into the rankings is, I guess, it's the most SEC thing ever. Like, they lost to Georgia, they lost to Penn State. I guess they're ranked at 18th.
I think they're going to get severely overranked by that first playoff committee, you know, by the first ranking. I think they're going to be severely overranked. And it's funny because that's probably Georgia's best win to date, and that's probably the best passing attack they've faced, which is a little weird considering it's Bo freaking Nix.
Yeah, there's no doubt. So, I mean, I can't get the image of Bo Nix really every game he's ever played and then how they played against Penn State. I mean, Auburn is a three-point favorite, and I get it's at home. So I'm taking Ole Miss in that game straight up money line. I'm going to get that juice right back. And that's a no-brainer. And then number 12, Kentucky on the road at Mississippi State. Mississippi State is a one-point favorite in that game against a 6-1 Kentucky team.
Those weird ones, right?
The same Mississippi State team that lost to Memphis, that lost to a bad LSU team, got fucking boat raced by Alabama 49-9. I know Kentucky's a little inflated at 12, but I'm taking Kentucky in that one too. Yeah. So I guess that's two upsets already. And then the interesting one that I think, you know, keep an eye on is North Carolina, Notre Dame. It's at Notre Dame. Notre Dame's a 3.5-point favorite. I'm not calling an upset here, but I still, Notre Dame's still phony. And somehow when a team gets exposed as phony and then they start beating some below average teams, all of a sudden they start creeping back up and you're like, it's like a fucking virus that I just got rid of. Like I fucking already got rid of you. What are you doing in the top 10, Notre Dame? You're a phony. We already know that.
No, I could definitely see Sam shutting that thing down, but Cincinnati fans are rooting for them to keep winning. So
it's going to be like Clemson. Clemson's going to like win out and all of a sudden you're going to be looking, you're like, what the fuck is Clemson doing at 20? Like, why are they number 20 in the country? They're terrible. We already determined that. It's just it's annoying how it works. But but I guess that's my opinion on the games. What do you got? You got anything else?
No, that's all I got for real. I mean, you know, I love Kenny Pickett, so we'll be watching Pitt play Miami this weekend. That should be a fun one. Kind of at noon. kind of getting things – they're so bad. But I can't wait to see Kenny Pickett out there. I want to see him have another Heisman-type day for the 23-year-old. But really, other than that, I'm kind of in wait-and-see mode. I'm always watching Oregon because sometimes they look good, sometimes they look really awful. But that Ole Miss game, I want to see how healthy Matt Corral is. That's kind of my big thing. I know he's pretty banged up, but you know he leads that team in rushing and passing, obviously. So, and he's not really a battering ram, but that's how kind of he's being used. So I'm gonna be on the lookout for those things. And you know I love College Football Saturday, so it's gonna be another great slate. But Zach, it's about that time, man. Menace out. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it, Chris.
Yes, sir.